Star Wars.
I was thinking of a baby crying. When you think about Christmas, but I think sometimes that story gets a little too familiar. And we forget about the dramatic reality that the first cry of baby Jesus is the first moment in which the divine breathed human dust. We're entering into a series when the divine entered humanity, and we're going to begin with baby Jesus. And speaking of babies, I just got to say, ECC is about ready to have some baby fever, aren't we? Right, you guys, many of you know the Derricksons, right? Summer is so close to being due, and Becky's actually just, today's June 1st, July 1st is the due date, so we are right there with them. Speaking of babies, actually, I wanted to mention some of our babies that you know grew up and had an incredible track season this year. I just want to highlight, Wallowa County had quite a showing in Eugene this last weekend, from state champions to state records being had to just state placers. I mean, it was an incredible weekend. Can we just acknowledge them, give them a huge hand? Great job. Absolutely. I know many of them would not want to actually be up here on stage and receiving that, so we'll just applaud that for them now. But let me just pray for our morning together. God in heaven, I want to thank you for the chance to just examine the Christmas story outside of the Christmas season and to really look at it for the wonder that it absolutely is. Lord, in these details, that in the story that we often sort of are very familiar with in Christendom and in the church world, Lord, help us to see afresh, anew, your life, the journey that you have taken to ultimately come to save not just good people, but wretched sinners like me, like us. God, that you would come the distance, that you would initiate that for us. Lord God, I pray that in this series, as we look at what you have done, particularly today in the coming, Lord, would you speak to our hearts and minds? Would you allow this truth that may be familiar to be something that is again transformative? Lord, allow maybe ears that have not yet heard the birth story of you coming to earth maybe be brand new. Let it fall fresh and clear and powerfully. God, I pray for those who have heard this story many times. Lord, I pray that we would glean new insights and valuable refreshment, Lord, for our hearts and souls, that we would be together living for you in all that we do. Lord, thank you for just the opportunity to look at your word and remember these truths together. And we pray that together in Jesus' name. And all the church said, amen. Well, I want to begin in Luke chapter 2. So if you have your Bible, smartphones, tablets, you can turn there. And then we're also going to check out Matthew chapter 1 and 2. So that's where we're going to be kind of floating around. So you can turn there. But as we get started this morning, I want to begin to ask the question, is Jesus the most important person ever born? Now, that's a bold claim, and you might expect my answer because I'm the preacher and, you know, Jesus is kind of an important guy around here, right? So you know, we could say yes, but I just want to ask and give some validity to this. I mean, he, if not the most important person, he's certainly the most debated and controversial person of all of history. But, you know, there's been a lot of people. Think about Alexander the Great, okay? He was 33 when he conquered the known world. Einstein revolutionized physics with his theory of relativity. Steve Jobs transformed how we communicate through technology today. Okay, there are some major people, major players that have impacted the world as we know it today. But one of the things about Jesus that we got to remember too is that it goes beyond his achievements. I mean, he impacts our daily life even in our calendar. I mentioned June 1st, right? Well, if you take our June 1st date and take it all the way out, what is it? June 1st, 2025 A.D., right? We have our calendar. Our entire history is set up in B.C. and A.D., before Christ, after death. That's a pretty big deal that he's impacted literally time in our history. Think about the university where maybe you got your degree from. Did you know that many universities have their roots established in the early Christian monasteries? How about modern hospitals? Okay, many of them have their roots in Christians caring for the sick during plagues. What about the concept of human rights? That draws deeply into the fact that we believe all people bear the image of God. Now, and there's different critics on this, right? So wasn't Jesus just another religious teacher? Haven't there been other impactful religious teachers? And I would absolutely say yes, Buddha, Muhammad, Confucius, right? We could go down the list of many names that you have heard of, maybe some you haven't. But let me just even poke at one essential difference between Jesus and other impactful religious teachers. They pointed to a path. Jesus says, "I am the path." Jesus didn't just claim to teach about God, he claimed to be God. And so we ask the question, is Jesus the most important person ever born? And you grandparents in here, I know your grandkids are rivals to that, right? But truly, here's where we're going in this series. Truly, if he is Emmanuel, God with us, then everything we understand about God, everything about humanity, everything about our purpose in life is impacted by that truth. And so I want to use an illustration to kind of help us visually see this. If you have your sermon notes today, you'll notice in the corner there's a couple of circles that intersect. Okay, heaven. You have heaven here. One circle represents perfect and holy. You have the other side of it, earth, broken and fallen. And, you know, you have the creation story in Genesis, and then in chapter 3, there's the fall that takes place. And after that, right, for thousands of years, God and humanity have been separated. And God has tried to reach into humanity through prophets, through the law, through visions and dreams. But never before have these two realms of flawlessness and lawlessness perfectly overlapped until Jesus. See, in Jesus, these circles are the collision, right? Jesus brings the collision of being fully God and fully man. And let me just lay the tension for us as we get into the series. Here's the tension, okay? If you are a Christ follower, because of what Jesus has done, this earth is the closest thing to hell you will ever experience. Think about that. And there's some really hellish things that happen this side of eternity, okay? But just know that our hope is that this is the worst it will ever get for you, because it's only going to get better. But what's the other side of that coin? The tension is just because of what Jesus has done, because him interceding here on earth for those who are not Christ followers, this is the closest thing to heaven that they will ever receive. That this, the glimpses of God and creation and all that's there, is the best that it will ever be for them. And so this overlapping circle, this idea of heaven and earth and collision together because of what Christ has done, that's what we're going to look at throughout the series. Squarely today, we're going to look at the impact of Christ's birth. And so I want to look at Luke chapter 2. And here's the context. If you're not familiar with the Christmas story, right? If you are, you probably tell it better than me. But basically, there's a Caesar Augustus has a census, right? He wants to count his people, make sure he's getting all of his tax money, right? And so he calls a census. And so that forces Joseph to go to Bethlehem. And of course, Mary is now pregnant. And so she's pretty far along. She takes the trip with Joseph to have this baby. They arrive in an overcrowded Bethlehem, and so there's no room anywhere for them, and so they're looking and hunting for a shelter. They can't find it, and now the baby's due right now, and they take shelter in a stable. And in that stable, surrounded by perhaps some animals and a manger, Mary goes into labor. And Luke chapter 2 catches this moment. And while they were there, the time came for her, Mary, for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Now, this, again, sounds so familiar to us if you're familiar with the Christmas story. But one of the things I want to point out during the wonder of this is that the humility in which Jesus was born. I mean, think with me here for a moment, okay? There's no trumpets, there's no royal chambers, there's no anything special, really, just an exhausted mom, an overwhelmed dad, and a feeding trough. And the thing that I love about this is that like, God chose to enter. He could have, you know, sent Jesus as a full-grown man, as a king, and with a sword in his hand and all this stuff. And there's a depiction of him in his second coming, absolutely. But in his first, in this initial coming, he comes with such great humility. And I want us to consider that this morning. Not as just a familiar story that we've heard, but think about it in the sense of the creator of atoms and galaxies, the designer of your DNA and mountain ranges, the author of time itself, chose to enter his creation as a helpless infant. The one who spoke stars out of his mouth, learned how to speak human words. The one who crafted human legs and made them out of dust, learned how to walk and use his own legs. Why such humility is the question that kind of runs in my mind. Why such humility in this journey? And I think it's very simple. Just as much as a surgeon cannot repair from a distance, just as much as marriage was never meant to be done from afar, he wanted to redeem his people. He wanted a relationship with us. He wanted to heal us and restore us from within, closely, together. And I think we see a great example of that in the divine preparation that goes into his birth story. Now we jump over to Matthew. See, Matthew records that all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. But if you read Matthew, right, this is just one little glimpse. He isn't just talking only about the virgin birth specifically. I mean, he is, but he's also, if you read the first four chapters, multiple times he reiterates that this happened to fulfill whatever the prophet was talking about. And so you read, he's pointing all these Jewish people to saying, look, your Jewish Messiah, the one that you've been looking for and been promised from God from the Old Testament, look, over and over and over again, he fulfills all of these things. All of this. And so I think that's so important, right? This idea that all these things were being fulfilled. Let me give you some examples just to kind of help you understand this, right? The virgin birth is just one of them. But you go to the lineage of David. That was prophesied in 2 Samuel. You go to the being born in Bethlehem itself. So all of the census, the moving from Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem, like all of this was a part of that journey, right? Even their escape to Egypt was a part of Hosea's prophecy. Even the timing of his birth in the Roman rule. Okay? All of these things point to him being who he says he was. I want us to understand that it wasn't just like some random divine afterthought, oh, snap, I got to go save these people. Here, let's come up with a plan. No, he does this intentionally. He does this with precise precision. In fact, if you want to have a little bit of fun with this here, you mathematicians in the room, some really great scholars had actually ran the statistics of somebody fulfilling just 8 of the Old Testament prophecies. And if one person was to fulfill 8 of them, that would be 1 to the 17th power. Okay, 1 to the 17th power. And you take this and you go millions, billions, trillions, And then you get into the quadrillions, okay, for those, you know, and then you get to 100 quadrillions. This is incredible. This is a number that is really hard to even comprehend. And, well, let's try, though. So there was another guy who said, okay, well, let's break it down. Let's take the size of a state of Texas, fill it 2 feet deep in quarters, and mark just one of them, okay? Throw it out, I don't know, in the middle of Dallas somewhere, and ask somebody to walk from one edge of Texas and then just walk aimlessly blindfolded. And being blindfolded, they get tired of walking, and they just pick a quarter up, and they happen to pick that specific quarter. Okay, that's the odds of what it is to be 100 quadrillion, all right? So just to put it in perspective, okay? Listen, that's to fulfill 8. Jesus fulfilled over 300. I'm here to tell you that Jesus proved himself to be God's son. Statistically, it's an absolute anomaly that would ever take place. And here we see over and over and over again Jesus proving himself to be the one that he said he was going to be. And the reason I point that out is because just as much as God's orchestrating in human history Jesus' entrance into our world today, okay, he's still orchestrating details for you and I. He cares about all those details for you and I. Many of you have heard the story. I've shared this multiple times about our story coming to the county and God's fingerprints being all over that. So I want to share with you a different story. And we all, you all have collision stories with God where God's fingerprints begin to become all over what he's up to and what he's doing in different ways. And this particular one, I was sort of coming back to Christ out of my rebellious phase, and I was helping with our youth group there in Staten Christian, and we gotten into some apologetics, which was super interesting, talking about absolute truth and how we could understand that and different evidences for who God is, and I just found that so interesting. And so in that process of helping, it was around this time of year, there were some seniors looking to graduate, so they were looking into different schools, and the youth pastor had brought up some pamphlets about different Christian colleges, and this one in particular offered a free tuition scholarship. Now, I'm not great at math, okay, so I'll admit that up front, but I can do the math on free tuition, okay? That's pretty good. All right, we'll get there. And so there was this whole thing. Well, I took that brochure, put it into a book, and kind of forgot what I had done with that brochure, but I was really intrigued by this school. And so I went home, and what did I do? Of course, I Googled free tuition, Christian college, Missouri. Those are the three things that I knew about this place. And I remember going on the website, Central Christian College of the Bible pulls up, and I remember it had like the same teaching, the same tuition stuff, the athletics were the same. The only thing different on this website that I could even point to anything being different was the fact that there was a lot of red on the website, but I remember there being a lot of blue in the brochure. But I'm like, whatever, I don't know, red and blue, you know, the different schools have those colors. Like, it's, yeah, that makes sense, that's fine, whatever. Totally disregard it. So there was a senior that was wanting to go check out one of these schools, and so I said, yeah, hey, I'll plan the trip. I'm the more mature 21-year-old, I can do this. Connecting flight to in Minneapolis to go to St. Louis. And my friend just kind of, just out of nowhere, he says, you know, I wonder why they call it St. Louis Christian College when it's 2.5 hours away from St. Louis. And I remember thinking, I said, well, it's not called St. Louis Christian College. It's called Central Christian College of the Bible. And he says, no, Darren, it's called St. Louis Christian College. And I say, no, it's not. It's called Central Christian College of the Bible. And we get into this argument. We're mid-trip, okay? We're in our connecting flight to St. Louis. And he gets out all his paperwork and I get out mine, and this is a no-joke thing. He has everything planned and prepared to go to St. Louis Christian College, but I had planned the trip to go to Central Christian College of the Bible. I mean, talk about like stomach sickness, like my throat was dry, like I was like, oh, what have I done? Oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I mean, what do you do? Like, I have planned all the details to go to Central Christian College of the Bible. Well, as God would have it, long story short, where do you think we ended up going? Central Christian College of the Bible. And I'm thinking about God's collision in the moment, like even in my mistake, even in my honest, like, hey, I figured it out, even our Google searches that go bad, right? Like these are the kinds of things in which God will use in directing our path, in even in our stupid moments of not doing our due diligence, right? Like I think about how that one mistake in that moment was such an obvious mistake, and yet how different my life would be if I hadn't met this incredible girl named Becky Sowers at Central Christian College of the Bible. He, my friend, ended up going also to Central, had some transformative things happen in his life there. I think about the journey that you know, meeting Becky and then ultimately meeting a guy named Eliezer who was stepping out of his pulpit and was asking that we would consider going. That was our first opportunity to be doing that. I think about then the opportunity from foster care to adoption to the journey and all the steps, the collision course, right, that happened in that one decision. And if we hadn't done that, how much different life would be today. I think about that, and even you here this morning, think about the different people that have interacted in your life to bring you here today. The different encouragement that you've gotten, the challenges from other men that you've received, the spiritual journey of influences that you've had along the way. Maybe it's been questions like me. Maybe you've had questions and wondering purpose and what do I do with life. These are the kinds of things that God uses to grow us, to shape us, and ultimately carry us on this path. And just as much as the details that he brought his son into the world in, he cares about those details for you and I. So don't minimize those things. God is up to something. In fact, one of the things that I really want to highlight here, we'll look at this in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, but a lot of people think, well, I'm too common. God uses, you know, people that maybe take a big stage or maybe these big scenes, or we have it in our head like, oh no, like, you know, like God has to use me in some big grandiose way. And it's like, he reveals himself to the most common people. And that's what we see as a great example as the first witnesses of this announcement. So you got Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus now born. And what happens in Luke chapter 2, okay? That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep, okay? Regular laborers, blue-collar folk. In fact, not just even blue-collar. These guys were considered unclean and social outcasts. These were not like your even like run-of-the-mill, like average guy. These guys were not viewed highly at all in society at this time. But apparently, suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory showed around them. They were terrified, which I can only imagine being in that situation. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. Yes, the Savior, the Messiah of the world, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him." Listen. How? "By what was orchestrated, even got started because of what Caesar started, because of a census that he wanted, because he wanted a tax to make sure he was getting all of his money. And God used that to move Mary and Joseph to where they needed to be to fulfill prophecy. And then you got these shepherds, and now the feeding trough wrapped in claws laying in a manger, that is not normal. Okay, it was a sign of God doing something, revealing something to people that were pretty average, ordinary folk. Okay, don't underestimate God's fingerprints on all of these things, okay? Don't underestimate your involvement in his story. Be encouraged. God is using you. He wants to use you and will be using you. We're not going to look at the story, but you think about even the Magi, right? They're from the Far East. They were foreigners, considered Gentiles, and they were outside of the promises of Israel. And yet even they saw the star in the night, and they journeyed to meet Jesus as a toddler. See, what I want us to see is the pattern is clear. When heaven touches earth, it often happens in unexpected places to unexpected people. That's what I love about living in Wallowa County. This is the most like off-the-road cul-de-sac of Oregon kind of place. This is the kind of place that shepherds saw angels, you know? Like, this is the kind of place that God shows up in profound ways. And I want to encourage you today. I don't know where you might see yourself. Maybe you kind of connect with the shepherds being a little bit on the average side or less than average, and maybe you're feeling a little bit discouraged that you're just sort of going through the grind of your daily job and trying to make it through another day, another week. Maybe you're in that where like the Magi, right? Foreigners to God's promises, not really sure if that really applies to you or not. Somehow you're just trying to, you know, figure this out. But see, this is, again, the wonder of Jesus' birth, is these are the exact places and people that heaven loves to collide with earth. A collision course of ordinary life that he does extraordinary things with. And that's why we look at this circle, right? Our world constantly tells us you got to be good enough to get those kinds of special treatments. You got to earn the respect. You have to, you know, basically be good enough to deserve love. You have to be good enough to merit success. And the thing that I constantly, every week, am so thankful for is that I don't have to be good enough. Like, that's the gospel message. Like, we don't have to be good enough, because Christ is good enough. In fact, at our men's group, I think our great philosopher, Mr. John Williams, we were talking about this idea, and we were talking about how some people say, well, I know I'm not perfect, but I'm not really that bad to deserve hell, you know? And I remember John, which was so good, he has these little quips sometimes, and he says, we got to remember that we're good enough to not go to jail, but heaven requires perfection. Isn't that good? He's not even here today, is he? He's not even here to get the kudos, is he? We live in a world, right, that is about evaluating the goodness of others. Well, I'm not that bad. I mean, I know I'm not perfect, but I'm not that bad. But Romans 3:23, we all have fallen short of God's glorious standard. And this isn't like a point the finger, oh, you're so terrible. You point the finger, how many are pointing back at you? You know what I mean? Like, we're all a part of this. We're all caught in that. Like, we all have fallen short of God's glory, and yet this is exactly the gospel message, that we don't have to be good enough. This is the wonder of Christ's birth, is that God initiated the collision. It wasn't like, oh, God, please save us. It was like, you know, there's a little verse called John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And verse 17, for God so loved the world, he did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but what did he do? He sent him to what? Save the world. See, this is we got to remind ourselves of this incredible truth, that this is, he came to bridge the gap, and he was the only person that could bridge the gap. And so we ask this kind of, is Jesus really the most important person ever born? Listen, I would say that yes, but it's not because of what he accomplished in life, although it was absolutely revolutionary. It's not even because of his great teachings, which they're awfully really good. And I would even say it's not even because of his miraculous death and resurrection, although that could be a good rival. But I think actually the death and resurrection point to the greatest reason why his life is the most important. I think it's this, because he created the possibility of heaven and earth colliding in your life and in mine. That's why this is so powerful. That's why he meets us where we are. He loves us so much, not to condemn us, but to save us through his life. And we ask the question, you know, every Sunday, so what? Well, that's a pretty big so what. You know, we look at these circles, and what we see here is Jesus closing the gap, right? These circles represent, like, you know, the worst and the absolute best, and Jesus brings both, because he's fully God and he's fully man. And so what I want us to do this morning, you have those white cards on the seat, so you may have been wondering what those are for. I want us to take these little white cards and identify your collision point. On one side, here's what I want us to do. On one side, I want us to take a moment and like the CCCB story, you know, like the story we have moving to the county, you know, like the fingerprints of what God's been doing in our life story, take a moment and remember those. Maybe they're people's names that have powerfully impacted your life. Maybe they're places. Maybe they're moments in time. Maybe they're things that only, you know, you're kind of recognizing, like, only God could be doing this. And what I want us to do is record those and remember them, because what that does is that becomes a testimony. Like, we think about a testimony, it's like, oh yeah, like this long, big thing. No, we have moments. We have collision testimonies where God shows up in powerful ways and does some transformative work. And then what I want us to do is on the other side, is maybe what's something that you need a collision point? Or maybe you're staring at your future and you need God to move. You need heaven to interact in earth soon, today. Maybe there's a relationship that's been broken that you are trying to figure out, how do I get this thing back together again? Maybe there's financial pressures that are just there and upon you. Maybe there's health challenges that you're dealing with. And maybe there's some emotional struggles, stress, other things that are going on in life. There's a real collision point that you need God to show up in your life. I want us to be able to write these things down. And I'm going to ask that you would use this as a bookmark during this series, as we talk about the wonder of Christ and his birth and ultimately through his life throughout the series. And as you are reminded of different collision points, write them down. And as you're reminded of the future things that you're needing, that you need God to be interacting with, would you pray over these things? And maybe even during this series, see what God's doing in and through those moments to interact with you, to interact with the people around you, to reveal that story that you didn't expect to see, that seemed like maybe it was a mistake, and all of a sudden God's doing some pretty incredible things. Because the reality is that we need to be honest before him. I don't want you to, like, take these things and church them up and make them, you know, polished. Remember, Christ came not in anything fancy. He came in humble means. He wants us to meet us in our mess and turn that into a message. He wants to meet us in this place, because it's in those common, ordinary moments that he does some of the most powerful work. You know, maybe for some of you, I was thinking, we have the privilege on June 22nd, here in just a few weeks, we're having Baptism Sunday. And maybe for some of you, that's a collision point, that you haven't ever taken that step of being baptized. Let me encourage you, maybe that's an opportunity for you to really prayerfully consider, where has God been? And if you haven't taken that step, that's a collision point you get to take with Jesus. You know, maybe there's some other areas of your life that you need to be surrendering over. Maybe there's some other things going on. But remember, the wonder of his birth is that it makes possible the wonder of your new life. And that's what Jesus is offering. He isn't offering just try to be better. He isn't trying to, okay, well, once you finally receive me as Lord, then you can pull up your bootstraps. Nope. The wonder is a new life, that heaven and earth can collide in your life today, just as he did so many years ago in a humble manger. Would you let him do that for you? God in heaven, I want to thank you this morning as we remember this very familiar story. God, I know that people have come from all walks of life and all stations of life and different challenges that they embrace even here today. Lord God, you meet us here and now. You know us. And Lord, we humbly present our needs before you. recognizing that you are using all of these things interwoven into our story that ultimately is a part of your story, and it is humbling to think that you would even use people like us. And yet here you are. And so, Father God, I want to thank you for the times where you have brought us on that collision course. Even here this morning, you brought some people here that maybe even weren't expecting to be, and all of a sudden they're here, and it's like, wow, you're doing something, and you're speaking to their heart, and they're ready to surrender that. God, that's awesome. That's amazing. Lord, you have brought people here that have been faithful for years and years and years, and Lord, I pray that you would help us see all of that new again, that you would be able to look, help us see in the decades past of your faithfulness and be able to celebrate future things and what you're doing. Father God, we thank you and we love you for the opportunity to know you, and I pray that if anyone here is feeling a little bit on the outside, feeling a little bit on the, like maybe they're just a little bit too commonplace for you, then Lord, reveal that you came for everyone to save us. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus, for that great hope we have. And I pray that you would ignite that fire within us here this morning. We pray that together in Jesus' name. And all the church said, amen. Let's stand together.